The Orange County Commission on Domestic Violence is launching a year-long project to map how domestic violence cases are treated in the criminal justice system. The goal is to figure out how to do a better job of holding perpetrators of domestic violence accountable and to improve the outlook for survivors. Well, joining me to talk more about the project is the CEO of Harbor House of Central Florida, Michelle Spurzel. Michelle, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting me back.
We're also joined by the co-chair of the Orange County Commission on Domestic Violence, Dick Batchelor. Dick, thank you as well.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back and appreciate the opportunity.
Michelle, I want to start with you. What was the impetus for the project and why is now a good time to be doing this?
So working on the commission, we were talking through a lot of things that we know are issues. And one of the things that was brought up is that the drop rate of a domestic violence case is right around 98%. And so we want to make sure that we're able to prosecute if someone wants to be, if someone wants a prosecution to take place for domestic violence. And so part of that lack might fall within the evidence gathering of building out the case for domestic violence. And so I've done some work across the United States, and one piece that I saw that works really well is mapping the entire process of what happens when someone calls from 911 and that evidence gathering part, and then someone gets arrested, and then what happens from the arrest point all the way to probation. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be mapping that entire process, but we're going to be doing it with the people who are doing the work in the field. And it's going to be a really great project because some of the things we'll find out would be what are going to be just policies. And so it's a policy that might happen within law enforcement, or a policy that happens within the 911 call center, mm-hmm. or a policy that happens in the Department of Correction. Where are laws that dictate some of the different policies? And then also along with that are just some of the different norms or the culture of that, and people are doing it, but they might not know why they're doing it. And when we're able to do that, we're mapping out what happens with a perpetrator and what happens with a domestic violence survivor. What are the journeys and how do we work better as a community to fill those needs and those gaps in order to make sure that it's survivor focused and then also perpetrators are being held accountable. And so some of the different places this has been happening, it's been happening all over the United States. This is the first community mapping project that's happening in Florida, so we're excited about that. But it could be as simple as knowing that like a 911 report isn't being automatically sent off to a prosecutor. Hmm. It might be something very small, and I'm really hoping that as we're doing this process and we're doing the mapping of what happens and we're having the conversations with focus groups and we're doing interviews and then truly sitting down with people, and we're going to be creating boxes and directionals and circles. Like, we're going to be doing a true map. We're going to be able to have some really great aha moments. And the commission then will be able to take the recommendations of those aha moments, and we can put those into practice within our entire system here in Orange County.
Dick Batchelor, the drop rate, by which I gather that means the cases which may start with a 911 call but it doesn't end up in a prosecution, that seems like a very high percentage of cases which don't make it all the way to prosecution. So is that something that has been on the radar of the commission from the get-go?
Yes, it has been. And I want to say my co-chair of all these years has been Judge Alice Blackwell, who has been on the domestic violence bench for about 15 years. In addition to that, on the commission, we had the state's attorney, we had the public defender, we had the sheriff, we had OPD, and then we had advocates, we had Harbor House, which was our really reservoir of great information and how the system works. But to answer your question, yes, and that is one of the issues that I think the mapping project will really help us identify what's going wrong. Are the cases not being brought? Are people not making the calls? Is law enforcement handling it wrong? Should we be responding to domestic violence cases like we are in mental health cases with somebody from Harbor House, with law enforcement, to be sure that people get in the system, access the system? So I think the answer is yes, but I think this mapping project, which Michelle was able to secure funding for, is going to be extraordinarily telling, because we can take a person who is has experienced domestic violence and say, this is how you access the system. Here's how you get treatment. Here's how you provide for your family, your children in particular. You know, here's how you file. Here's how to the clerk of the court to be sure that the filings are there. But having the state's attorney's office involved with us is really, really critical, because obviously they're the state's attorney is the one that has to make sure they've got the information sufficient enough to bring charges. So yes, we by this mapping will help us really not just kind of pontificate about what the problem is, but we'll know exactly the system that's necessary to make sure the survivors are treated well.
Michelle, what kind of resources do frontline law enforcement officers have to spot signs of domestic violence and therefore follow up? And also, when you mentioned 911 operators and other people who are maybe involved in the very first part of seeing a case, what, you know, what kind of access do they have to resources, or what kind of training do you think they might need to help get a handle on these cases quicker?
So I think we're going to find out more about that. Like I know just because of some of the different things that I've been exposed to, but that's what we're going to be finding out. We're going to find out what kind of screening processes do they use? Is there a quick form that they can utilize in order to make sure that someone's going to be responding? Are they asking questions right away? Are they asking safety questions right away? And so those are things I don't know the answer to right now that we're hoping that all of us can learn together. And one of the benefits of doing the community mapping with a group that's going to be made up of a lot of different first responders is that we're all going to be sitting in the room and we're going to be hearing about how different parts of the system respond to a domestic violence call that we don't know. We have our own assumptions. We have our own thoughts. We think we know, mm-hmm. but it's going to be all of us hearing a little bit more and learning a little bit more, because that's where we're going to say, well, I thought it happened this way. And someone's going to say, no, this is actually how it happens. And I'm doing that way because this is the policy that we have in place to dictate it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're lucky in Orange County that law enforcement is really on the cutting edge with us back when, Mayor Demings was the sheriff, and Chief Mina was at the OPD, and now Chief Rolone is there. They're very attentive to this issue, and they sit on the commission, so they really want to know how to best train their officers and how to respond. And Michelle can correct me if I'm wrong, but the policy has been, or had been for many years in Orange County, if they receive the domestic violence call, usually they were going to take somebody to jail. They were going to basically separate the parties. And I don't know if they're still doing that, but unlike the national case, it's still gathering headlines every day. If you went to law enforcement officer witnesses domestic violence, which is the case that I'm referring to, they're going to make an arrest. They're not going to just take somebody's word for it. They're going to make an arrest. So in Orange County, we're lucky in Orlando to have OPD and OSO, and also Mayor Demings, having been the sheriff and now as the mayor, take this as a very serious issue.
And I'm going to really also join in saying that the Orange County Sheriff's Office, Apopka PD, and also Orlando Police Department, they're very, very good about having their officers and giving Harbor House access to their officers on shift briefings, or when they have new officers coming in to do a training on domestic violence, where we can talk about what services do we offer? Because by law, they talk about what services are available, but then they're also hearing about it firsthand. The other thing that they're fantastic about is that we have advocates that are co-located within all three of those entities. And the offices there really do utilize our advocates as resources to go over the different cases, to talk through what do you see as a sign. We're able to look at a lot of the different records to find out if there's somebody who we see domestic violence by reading the report, and that we're able to reach out to that survivor, and we're able to do what we call early intervention. We're able to talk to the survivor about, hey, we're looking at the report and we see that there are a lot of red flags, and we want to make sure you know that we're here for you, and this is how Harbor House can help if you want our services. And so I really feel like we are in a good position to be able to really help at that very first point in time when there is a call out and arrest is made and we're able to work with survivors.
Michelle, one of the things that you've told me is that sometimes for a survivor of domestic violence, it can be difficult to figure out what's going on when it's happening or when you're inside the situation. Like, it's hard to get some perspective, and that's part of the problem. Like, it's not just the the physical abuse in some cases. It's the also the mental trauma that they may be experiencing, or you know, control the perpetrator may have over, be exerting over that person. So is that part of the sort of mind shift you're looking to change there, or are you trying to change some attitudes with the part of the research here as well?
So working with the system itself, where I hope, and what other communities have been able to see, is that they're able to look to see how can we make that system more survivor focused, so that we are believing the person, that we're able to provide services to them throughout that entire process. And it's not just the domestic violence center that's providing them. And so that is really tied to what you were saying, that when someone's in it, they might minimize the violence. They might not see it as lethal as we see it, because it has been there every day. And the more that we talk to other service providers and we work together, we're going to be able to help the survivor pick out some of those different things, so we can help paint the picture to hold the perpetrator accountable.
If you're just joining me, my guest, Michelle Spurzel with Harbor House of Central Florida, and Dick Batchelor with the Orange County Commission on Domestic Violence. Dick, do you see the commission as having kind of like a coordinating role in the different groups that are involved in combating domestic violence? Is that part of what the commission is doing?
Yes, absolutely, because we've been able to engage our judges, not just Judge Blackwell, but other judges, Judge Lattimore and others. So we're really down in the trenches, so to speak. And I wanted to follow up on something Michelle said, because in response to your question, too, is that, you know, there's collateral damage involved, if I might use that term, in domestic violence cases. Let's say the children, you know, if you go back now, fortunately, we're kind of moved ahead in our thought process regarding the damage to children. There's what they're called ACE, Adverse Childhood Experience. One of those ACE ratings is whether or not you've been subject to abuse or you've witnessed abuse. It's the emotional involvement, the emotional abuse. So we have to look at the children, and that's why obviously Michelle and Harbor House take not only most cases, the woman, but also her children, because if you do not address the needs of that survivor and the survivor's children, there is an adverse childhood experience. If you don't try to do something to mitigate the impact on those children, what you will see, and again, Michelle is the expert on this, but what you can see, it will manifest itself, you know, longitudinal or familially. You'll see it play out again and again. Again, Michelle's a better expert on that than me, but I'm knowledgeable enough that the commission is to say you've got to look at the children too, and the residual, let's put it lightly, impact on those children from an adverse childhood experience.
Michelle, does this project have that scope, or are you really just trying to focus more on the perpetrator and the, you know, the survivor or the immediate victim of the violence?
So what's really great about this project is that it is going to be focusing on the criminal justice system, as I mentioned, from the 911 call to the probation. But we're utilizing a group that's called Praxis International. And that system that they're teaching us is something we can apply to a lot of the other systems that fall within domestic violence. So we can really look at the child welfare system. We can look at the civil system after we finished this project. And so that's what's great about this. And I enjoy so much working with Dick Batchelor, because he always brings up don't forget about the pets, don't forget about the kids. And because they are part of this and they are part of this journey. And if we're able to help break the cycle, then we know for those children that they have a better chance of not becoming a victim themselves in the future or becoming a perpetrator. Bringing it back to the commission, one thing that I thought that Dick Batchelor and Judge Blackwell did amazingly well, and then also the staff that associated that put us all together, is that this is the project, the map that we're talking about, is just one of the committees that we're moving forward with. And so I'm the chair of the System Process Committee. There's also the Court Process Committee, the Community Service and Resources Committee, and then also the Public Awareness and Community Committee. And so what is amazing about this community is the fact that there are so many different people who are invested in really helping survivors, really looking at the system of domestic violence and the systems that make it up, that make it really helpful for survivors, the ones that are not as helpful for survivors, and the ones where we're really trying to work better with perpetrator accountability. And I just want to say that it has been really great working on a committee like this, that really everybody's so engaged and they want solutions.
Matt, if I might interject something, you always look for me for this historical perspective, which means I've been around for a long time. And the community's attitude, embracing this as a topic, bringing the community together to see what we can do. When I first filed a domestic violence bill back in, I believe it was in 78, which was to strengthen the old legislation, I had law enforcement officers in 1978 come to me and say, you know, we don't support this legislation because domestic violence is a family issue and not a law enforcement issue. It took me some time to convince some of these sheriffs that at the time that the women and children are not chattel. I mean, they're not property. You can't treat them as you will. And but so I say that, but put it in perspective, in 1978, that was the attitude, and it was hard to get people to focus on it. It was buried. If a prominent person was accused of it, the story never appeared in the paper. This community has come quantum leaps, and as evidenced by the commission and everybody around the table, they recognize that domestic violence is a major issue. They want to find ways to reduce domestic violence, but they want to find ways to make sure that the perpetrators are also held accountable for it. So we've come a long way, and it's encouraging to know that the community is there and responsive and really doing very specific things, as was alluded to by Michelle.
Do you have funding for this work?
I always just feel that there's so many things we could be doing, that funding is going to always be something we need more of in order to do this type of system work and to dig down and figure out how we can work with what we have and how do we improve it. Like a lot of people, that isn't something that they want to invest in. They're like, oh, but there's a process and it's already set up and we're just going to keep on moving forward. But we need to be able to talk about it and work through it in order to improve it. And for the mapping project, yes, we were able to get funding secured for us to be able to do the project. And so I'm really excited about that. And then it's going to be based on the recommendations of what's next and what are we going to be able to do. And so for me, really taking that to the next step is I'm looking for funding now so we can implement whatever the action steps that are recommended after we do the mapping project. So
yeah, and so it sounds like you're trying to wrangle together a lot of different facets of, you know, systems and different information. Could be a lot of personnel involved in it. So how expensive is it? Where's the funding coming from?
So for the mapping project, we are going to be doing it, basically it's going to be done by volunteers. And so it's going to be the people who are already doing the work. So we're really pulling together two different committees, a lead committee, and then a committee of the different people who are doing the work in the community. So we're going to be pulling from law enforcement, 911, corrections, state attorney's office, prosecutors, judges, and bringing them into the room for different stages of putting together the mapping. And then we're working with a group that's called Praxis International, and they're leading us on this journey of how do we do the mapping. The mapping project itself is going to be costing us right around $40,000 to be able to take it through and to bring it from point A to point B. And so, and that's really that year-long project of helping for the technical assistance and the expertise in order for us to be able to do that for the community.
As the county putting up the money for that?
So no, it's actually going to be coming from Harbor House and one of our funders that we were able to work with in order to get the funding secured. And so that's the other piece, is that I was able to work with some of our funders to have that happen.
Matt, I will say though that the mayor has been very responsive, and when we made our recommendations, a great number of them, again, Michelle already mentioned those, the county's now assigning their staff at the appropriate levels to really say, okay, now we need to find a way to implement this. There is going to be a cost figure. There's going to be a budget figure. So when we come up with that figure, we will go to the resource. We will go to sources for funding, not only the community, but we will work with the county or specific budget request items in the county budget, because the mayor has really put his stamp of approval. He's the one that gave us the direction to re-engage and come up with very specific recommendations, and said they would be responsive to any budget requests in the future. So funding will be there. And also, we've been fortunate with the legislature as far as trying to secure additional funding. But again, we're going to do funding requests from the county, state's attorney's office, you know, wherever we can. When we find out the role that they absolutely play, then I think it's easier to go to a public policy, a public office holder, whether it be the mayor, county commissioner, or even the legislative delegation, say, now, here's empirical data. Here's exactly what's wrong with the system. Here's how we need to fix the system. And there are some physical notes attached. So I'm encouraged to say that we will get the kind of response that we need as far as funding once we have this roadmap, so to speak.
I was going to say, along with that, that this is just one part of these four other, there's four subcommittee groups, and this is just one of those. And so the staff support that we're being given by the county is amazing. And also the fact that it's the county invested in doing this really helps pull together that group that we're going to need to be in the room to do the mapping. Harbor House, we're just one of many that touch this entire issue of domestic violence. And so to have the county be the ones who are helping us pull everybody together is what's going to make this work. It wouldn't be happening if it just was one entity. It really does take the entire community to make it happen.
And so you're going to start in January, and hopefully you'll have some answers by December.
Yeah, we are starting in January. We want to do an update in about May or June when we're halfway through. Our goal is to really finish the phase one, which we're considering 911 to arrest. And we'll have some data then. And then June until probably November, December is when we're going to be working on that second part, and then have some really good updates for October, and then close it out in December.
Well, Michelle Spizell is the CEO of Harbor House of Central Florida. Thanks for joining us and talking us through this program. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And Dick Batchelor is the co-chair of the Orange County Commission on Domestic Violence. Dick, thank you as well.
Thank you as always, Matt. Appreciate it.